Welcome back to Radio EcoShock.
Welcome back to the Radio EcoShock Restless West Coast Edition. Now we're going to break the rules of radio. When people take to the streets in protest, your mainstream media gives you a glimpse, with maybe a chant in the background, while a reporter in a suit or dress tells you what it all means. Not here. We're going to start with an interview of environmentalist Ananda Tan as he sits with his arms locked with other protesters waiting for arrest outside the Bank of America in San Francisco. Risking her own person and equipment is Radio EcoShock Bay Area correspondent Karen Nyus.
Radio EcoShock, we're here with Ananda Tan, and tell us which organization you're from.
I'm with the Global Alliance for Incinerator Alternatives. I'm also with Rising Tide North America and the Mobilization for Climate Justice.
So I noticed that you're in lockdown here with your arms in
we
tubes.
Are.
And the tubes say no foreclosures, banks, and we're in front. Where are we?
So we are right now in front of Bank of America's Western Headquarters here in San Francisco Financial District.
I have to be here for half an hour. I got a parade to leave.
Well, thank you. Welcome, welcome. Ananda.
Robin.
Good to meet you, Robin. Thanks. So we're here in San Francisco Financial District in front of Bank of America's Western Headquarters. Bank of America and Wall Street, as most people know, are behind the financial crisis where they were bailed out by our federal government while communities got sold out, and now are in the process of foreclosing and evicting hundreds of thousands of families around the country. So we're here in solidarity with all those families and communities who are being foreclosed, who are being evicted, while Bank of America continues to take taxpayer dollars and public subsidies and finance a range of dirty corporations from the military industry to the financial markets that have driven our economy into the ground, to large polluters like big oil, coal companies, incinerators, landfill operators, the range of people who are polluting our communities, the most economically marginalized communities, where people are not only being foreclosed and evicted from their homes, but are also being subjected to a range of toxic pollution, to greenhouse gas emissions, to mercury, to dioxins and furans, to poisons that are going to make the world a very difficult place to live for our children. And Bank of America and Wall Street banks are some of the major drivers behind the development of those industries that are not only bankrupting our communities, but also polluting our communities. And so I'm here in solidarity with all those communities, standing up to the corporations that are currently ruling this country.
We need global citizens for some sit-ins again.
That was a bit of a rant.
We need global citizens for some sit-ins. What it is, the game has been rigged to enrich corporate business interests that sent this economy spinning. Charlie Sheen is not the only clueless dude that thinks he's winning. See the 1% done spent all the rent. See the 1% done spent all the rent. Now the rent's due. So we're coming to a tent near you. We're the like-minded 99%, standing up to corruption with loving dissent. We're the like-minded 99% standing up to corruption with loving dissent. We stand for justice and the future and all of humanity, embracing all people. Yes, even Sean Hannity. It's time to rock the nation, rock this occupation. It's time for the people to peacefully fight back. Tell Congress and the media we're taking the mic back. Tell the jaded it's that long-awaited revolution. Put away the pepper spray and reread the Constitution. These cops are paid to go crazy, yo, but we're peaceful. Don't tase me, bro. We came to insight, unite and discuss this. We came to hang and to bang the drums of justice. Let's occupy with our love and our light. Let's occupy the earth and the sky and live with all beings as a planet-wide tribe. Occupy the divine mind residing inside. See, I'm the typewriter that's known to light fires and prone to inspire the moment's own higher desire. Cause history knows it's the time for resisting the team at the scene of the crime. Tell your friends I'll meet them there at Freedom Square. They can't stop us from Seattle to Chiapas. It's our mission to envision what comes after the catastrophe. How do we move past the capitalist disaster? Our communities need us. We are all leaders. How could we ask for anything less than the future?
Just a question to you, how are you connected with this Vancouver show? Is this with Co-op Radio, did you say?
Called Radio Eco Shop.
Radio Eco Shop.
It was founded about 5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Wow. And
Excellent. We're about to start a Rising Tide chapter in Vancouver. It's so interesting.
He goes by the name Alex Smith, but it's not his name.
Alex Smith?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can look up
ecoshock.org. Yeah. Okay, I'll have to look it up.
Okay, so what's great is like hearing from you about the climate connection, but I wonder if you also want to talk about why climate is like not being discussed in the elections, why it's sort of off the agenda, or what is going on, or I mean, I'm just giving you a bunch of things you might want to talk about, and like, the Keystone decision, and what
right. Okay, absolutely. Do you want to do it in a little bit, or do you want to do it now, or are you
okay? Sure, I was just going to say, if something's going down, I can't see it, would you just, like, say something?
Flag it for you. Okay, yes, absolutely. It seems pretty chill right now. So anyway, to the Occupy movement and the movement demanding climate justice around the world, are very much aligned in their aspirations. And their aspirations for justice and their aspirations for the 99%. And their aspirations to stand up both the polluters and their financiers that are running the world into the ground and ruining the future of all their children. This country, this economic crisis that this country and the world is in right now, is largely driven by banks, as the Wall Street banks and Bank of America, and international financial firms and venture capital firms, but also by big polluters who they work alongside, the big oil companies, the coal companies, the incinerator companies, the waste companies.
Tell us about the incinerator companies, because I think people know a lot about, they know more about the big oil, but they might not know as much about the waste, the other side.
Right. Well, there's people who are generally my age and a bit older remember a day when communities all across this country rose up against the burning of waste in massive combustion facilities called incinerators, where they burn society's discards from food scraps to construction and demolition debris to paper to all sorts of materials that can be easily recycled and composted, materials that we need to sustain our future. So proving for a hugely wasteful society. It's a key part of the larger climate crisis and ecological crisis we're facing today because, as some folks know, the U.S. not only consumes a third of the world's natural resources industrially every year, that generates about 30% of the world's waste every year, and that generates about 22% of the world's greenhouse gas emissions.
Does that mean we're number one?
Pardon me?
Does that mean we're number one?
When it comes to destroying the Earth, yes, we are number one. And destroying our children's future, yes, unfortunately. And that's what we're up against. And looking very closely at the supply chains that drive that disaster brings us right back to these banks. These banks that make money. Some people have called it disaster capitalism, but make money off this ecological crisis, not by steering us in a way that is sustainable for society and safe and healthy for our communities, but in a direction that provides a whole host of false solutions like clean coal and safe nuclear and burning waste for energy. Hundreds of communities around this country are currently being cited for these waste-to-energy incinerators, and these are predominantly economically marginalized people of color communities that are subjected to facilities that are leading producers of toxic pollution, of greenhouse gas emissions like carbon dioxide, toxins like mercury and dioxins, as well as a host of other co-pollutants that affect, drive up illness and respiratory disease in these poor communities.
Okay, so I get it that the incinerators are creating the waste. How are they making money?
So they make money off public subsidies, this is where it comes back to us ending the subsidies both to Wall Street, the banks, but also the biggest corporations, the dirtiest corporations in this country. Both our federal government our state governments, and also unbeknownst to a lot of people, our local governments are providing huge taxpayer subsidies to these companies.
So we're paying to be polluted.
We're paying to be polluted. Our tax money, our ratepayer money, our utility bills are paying for these big polluting, destructive corporations to dump toxins in our backyard and pollute our kids. And some of the most economically marginalized communities, the same communities which have the largest number of home foreclosures and evictions, face the largest number of amount of pollution that's being subsidized by their local governments. Local through investment tax credits, production tax credits, all sorts of tax breaks and write-offs, but also direct subsidies like grants in the name of renewable energy and sustainability.
So that's very interesting, because a lot of times I think we do these actions in front of the big banks, but we kind of feel like they're really huge compared to us. But local government is something where people can actually get involved and go face-to-face with their representative. Do you want to comment about that?
Well, I think that is a shift in political direction that movement is realizing we need to make. If we are to protect our future, our children's future, and the planet's future, we need to shift our strategy towards winning house by house, block by block, street by street, community by community. And that's how we can turn the tide against these corporations, because we're in D.C., as Obama said on his road to the White House, that change will not come from D.C., it will have to come to D.C. That is literally what we have to do in this country. If we want to bring change to the power hierarchy, Wall Street, and the corporations that are ruling and ruining this country, we need to take it to in our backyards, where we do have power, where they cannot outnumber our numbers, our communities, in our communities, at the front doors of their big polluting facilities and their corporate headquarters.
So is that sort of a characterization of where you see Occupy going in 2012, or do you have any
other? Absolutely. Occupy right now, a lot of the focus is on the financial crisis and defending what we need to defend, our lines of defense around families that are being kicked out onto the street, about already economically marginalized communities that are being forced to go jobless. However, that we'll have to take that fight to all the associated corporations that are polluting the planet and the various other corporations, the venture capital corporations, they're supporting that, propping up this destructive, debt-ridden system. One of the links to incinerators that may be interesting, there's a city called Harrisburg. It's the capital of Pennsylvania. It's the largest city in the U.S. to declare bankruptcy, Section 9 bankruptcy to date. The reason they declared bankruptcy is because they decided to invest in a $300 million upgrade to a $1 billion waste incinerator. Now, I keep coming back to this because it's emblematic of what communities are doing across this country. We are allowing our politicians to take public monies and throw them behind bad corporations and bad investments. So just as these banks took people's monies and Wall Street took people's monies and threw them behind toxic assets, behind speculative investments that amounted to a house of cards that came tumbling down on us, we're also throwing money, our political leaders are throwing money behind polluting corporations that are creating an ecological crisis whose scale of impacts will make our current debt crisis look minuscule. The cost of all the pollution burden, the hospitalization, the disease, and the lack of clean air, clean water, and available natural resources to feed us and sustain us in the future amount to, you know, a multi-trillion dollar cost that we haven't even started to.
That was Karen Nyus on the streets with Ananda Tan outside the Bank of America in San Francisco during the Wall Street protest January 20th, 2012. Find out more at no-burn.org, that's no-burn.org, and actforclimatejustice.org. Now I'm going to make it hard and fun for you. We'll take to the streets of San Francisco with Karen Nyus to hear Green American author Ted Nace. Except in the soggy crowd of a rainy day, you can't hear him. There's no microphone on the courthouse steps, just a crowd microphone, and I think it works, involving the people not as passive listeners, but as participants in the speech. Let me know what you think. Here it is, as it happened. Just before we hear Ted, the first speaker is Abram Enten from Move to Amend.
We can speak our churches, our synagogues, of the struggle. Gracious again. Upon our short attention span. And believe that we'll soon become tired.
It was a skunky rainy day, so Ted Nace began this parable about the people with wet feet and the corporations who can never know that experience.
Can you help me with my speech?
Yes!
Yes. With my speech.
We are here on a rainy day. With warm hearts and wet feet.
No!
in humiliation and loneliness.
For victimless offenses.
For victimless offenses.
We're young people just starting their lives.
We're young people just starting their lives.
Go off to war and come back broken.
Go off to war and come back broken.
We're mindless robots.
We're mindless robots.
Corporations
have more rights
than the 100%.
Than the 100%.
The human.
The humans.
Those with wet feet.
Those with wet feet.
Mitt Romney says. Corporations are people.
Corporations are people.
Because they have people inside them.
Because they have people inside them.
Corporations deserve rights. But if this were true, then buildings would be people. Because buildings have people inside them.
Buses would be people.
Because buses have people inside them.
That was a distant Ted Nace, author and environmentalist, passed on by the crowds in San Francisco at the Occupy Wall Street protest January 20th, 2012. My thanks to Radio EcoShock Bay Area correspondent Karen Nyus for braving the elements and the police to get those on-the-street recordings from the Occupy Wall Street protests west. If you violate copyright, you go to jail. If you violate people's home ownership, their pension plans, and their economy, no problem. Take $100 million on your way out the door and head for the next scam. until the people demand so loudly, so often, and with such determination that justice will be done. I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock. Thank you for joining us. Find the links to the YouTube video of Shallow Waters at the Takaya Blaney website in my Radio EcoShock blog at ecoshock.info.
Used to build castles on the beach, splashing around in the summer heat. Now it's just toiled up to our knees. Bring back the days we used to care. All of these troubles were not there. Cry for help, this is my song. If we do nothing, it'll all be gone. If we do nothing, it'll all be gone.
Shallow waters, I can't see your clear waves lapping at my feet.